First Thessalonians chapter 1. This will be our first lesson in this. Now, while you're finding First Thessalonians, let me give you a little history, a little background, and a little preface by saying this really goes well with where we came from as far as the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, we talked about the Apostle Paul and a guy by the name of Silas. They got thrown in a jail cell in Philippi in Acts chapter 16. Before they went to Philippi, they were at a place in 15 called Troas. And let's see, let's look at that right there. Is that up there? All right, hang on. Things are being just a little... Sorry, maybe it'll go up there in just a second. It was sticking a while ago. How about that? There's a place called Troas. If you see that, hopefully there, maybe you can see that. Let me make sure they can see that at home that are watching. They were there in Troas. They got in trouble. They took off to Philippi. Troas is where they heard the Macedonian call. And a guy over there said, "Hey, come, we need to hear the preaching of the gospel over here." And so he stopped off in Philippi. Paul and Silas got in a little trouble in chapter 16. They wound up in the Philippian jail. And you know the story. They got out, jailhouse rock, all of that. That's where Elvis wrote his song, The Jailhouse Rock, from Acts 16. And Paul and Silas was free. When they left Philippi, and you see they went on down to Thessalonica. And this is where they stayed for about a month. Paul and Silas goes in, boy, he starts preaching and all this kind of stuff. Big uproar takes place. We'll read about it in just a second. And that happens in 17. So they leave Philippi in 16. They go to Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians, in 17. In 18, well, they're run out of Thessalonica after a month. They go down to a place called Corinth. You'll see a place called Corinth. While he's in Corinth, you'll find Corinth in chapter 18 of Acts. Paul says, "I need to write back to those people in Thessalonica because they were under persecution. Paul's preaching and people are getting saved. And the city was a very pagan city. They worshiped idols and all this kind of stuff. Well, when Paul left, the persecution didn't stop. They kept on persecuting the people and the Christians and the church there at Thessalonica that all these people got saved. A lot of people died from the persecution. And so what happened is these people in Thessalonica were saying, "Hey, what happened to our loved ones that died? Where are they?" And so 1 Thessalonians gives us, remember chapter 4, talks about the Lord's going to descend from heaven with the dead in Christ. We'll rise first. That's why Paul writes that in chapter 4. He gives them comfort and lets them know about the second coming of Christ. And so that's what's going on. Take your Bible and look at Acts, let's see, I may have it up here. Oh, here we go, Acts 17. Here we are. Here's where we talked about Thessalonica. Now, when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And as Paul, as his manner was, went into unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture. So for three Saturdays, he goes into the Jewish, where all these Jews are gathered, and he preaches to them out of the Scriptures. Opening and alleging that Christ must be a suffered, rise again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed. So there's your saved people out of Thessalonica. And consorted with Paul and Silas and the devout Greeks, the great multitude, the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy. All right, here's trouble. Here's persecution. Took upon them a certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulting the house of Jason. Supposedly, this church started in this Jason's house. and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren, the rulers out of the city, crying that these have turned the world upside down and come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all Jason has received. Paul and Silas into his house, he's wanted to receive them into his house. They're preaching all this stuff and turning our city upside down. And these are do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is none other king, one Jesus. That's what they were preaching. That's what Paul was preaching. So that's why. Now look, and they troubled the people. There we go. There's persecution. They troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they'd taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go. So on and so forth. So what they did, they got Paul and Silas, and that's when they left Thessalonica, and they moved on out to Corinth, and from Corinth he writes back to them saying, hey, I know you're under great persecution. I know most of it's my fault because I was preaching the gospel to y'all, but look here, just hang on. The Lord is coming. Just hang on. And so that's why he's writing this letter back to them to give them some encouragement. Now, here's something else by way of introduction. Let me give you something. Y'all remember in the book of Revelation, John, on the Isle of Patmos, wrote seven books to the churches. John wrote seven books in Revelation. It started with Ephesus, and it ended with Laodicea. Anybody remember that? It's found in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. There's seven of them. Ephesus all the way to Laodicea. Matter of fact, I think I got, let's see if I got them here for you. There they are. You see those? From Ephesus all the way to Laodicea. Seven of them. Well, guess what? Paul wrote seven books, or seven to seven churches. And those seven churches, it started with Rome, Romans. So Paul writes Romans, and the last book he writes to a church now is Thessalonians. Now watch this. Revelation chapter 2 and 3. John writes seven churches. That ends chapter 3. Chapter 4, 1, Revelation 4, 1, and I saw a door open in heaven, and I heard a voice that said, come up hither. Okay, you hadn't seen it yet, but hang on. Paul writes seven to seven churches, Romans, and the last church that he writes to, Thessalonica, and in chapter number 4, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Stay in your seat. I know it's Wednesday. I know you worked all day. That's why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 9, he says, God hath not appointed us unto wrath. If you're saved in this room right now and you know the Lord, you are not going through the 7-year tribulation. I don't know what your radio preacher told you or your TV preacher told you or whatever. I'm telling you what the Bible says. You're not going through the tribulation. God has not appointed. He's going to call us out of here before the great tribulation comes. That is proof of that, that's what has happened. Now, the book of 1 Thessalonians is a great book for new converts. If someone was just getting saved, they got saved, they said, Brother Jeremy, where do we need to start? I would probably send them to St. John. St. John will give you about the deity of Christ. And then I'd tell them to read Romans. Romans is going to give them salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, justification, sanctification, glorification, all those kind of things found in the book of Romans that a new convert needs to know. And then the third one would I tell them was to read 1 Thessalonians, because that's going to give you the promises of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's what you need to know. Now, 1 Thessalonians has 5 chapters, 89 verses, and Thessalonians means hot spring. So in Thessalonians, Thessalonica, there was a place that has all of these hot springs there in Greece. See if I can get it to come back up. Lord, help me, because I... Did it cut? Oh, there we go. So this is why the devil gets into technology, and he tests to see, you know, if you're going to get in the flesh or not, you know. And so when it don't work right, I'm like, you know, Lord, don't help me not to lose my temper in front of all these people. They're wanting to know something about 1 Thessalonians. But anyway, that word Thessalonians means hot springs. They're in Greece. Matter of fact, now I think the modern day is Salakra. I think it's the place. I think J.R. went there one time when they were going on a mission trip. And that's where Thessalonians is. All right, let's look at 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 1. It was written about 54, 52, somewhere along in there, A.D. And that's along about the time. If you have a Scofield reference Bible like I do, it'll give you those dates up in the margin. Somewhere around 52 A.D., that means 52 years after Jesus was born, was Thessalonians written. All right, let's look at chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, that is Silas. Remember we just read in Acts 16, Paul and Silas. That is the same person as Silvanus. You say, well, why did he say that? Well, we got Keith calls Charlie. I call him Charlie, Brother Charlie. Keith calls him Charles. Guess what? He's the same person. Silas and Silvanus is the same person, all right? Timothy and Timotheus is the same person, okay? So, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that little phrase, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's like if you were to look in Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, so on and so forth. That's his phrase that he uses in a lot of these books. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just what he uses. But notice what he says. Paul, it's almost like he's writing a letter to the church at Thessalonica, and he's saying, Paul, that's the writer, me and Silvanus and Timotheus, hey, we're coming to you, and we're writing this letter to the church. What's the church? Well, remember, watch, they didn't have no building like we have, okay? They were meeting in that Jason guy's living room, basement, roof, wherever, outside, under an oak tree. Don't know where they sit. But here's when you say to the church, people automatically think, oh, they must have had a beautiful building. They didn't have a building. So the church is not the building, it's the people, you say. To the saved, born-again people of Thessalonians is who I'm writing to. Who are they? Which is in God. Now watch this. In God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've ever wondered and worried about your eternal security, let me just help you with something. Let me show you this in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Watch this. If ye been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Okay? Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. If you're saved, you are dead to sin, dead to self, dead to all of that stuff. If ye be dead and your life is hid with Christ, where? In God. So, look. Stay. I'm about to enjoy my own teaching. So there we go. There's God. And then inside that, there's Christ. And inside that, there I am. I got excited, And guess what? The Holy Spirit lives in here. So the Holy Spirit lives in here. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in God, and you're worried about losing your salvation. Somebody said, Brother Jeremy, you believe you lose salvation? The Holy Spirit's inside me, and I'm in Christ, and He's in God. That's pretty secure to me. Now, you can lose yours if you want to. Help yourself. Somebody asked me, say, well, you believe you lose? Hey, if you could lose it, you'd have done it. Some preacher told me, he said, Brother Jerry, I cannot believe that you don't believe you could lose salvation. I said, have you ever lost yours? I said, you believe you can lose yours? He said, yep, you sure can. You can lose your salvation. I said, have you ever lost yours? Oh, no. I said, why not? If you could, you'd have done it. You've done something stupid enough to lose it over, if you could. I feel a little kink right there. But, hey, I'm secure. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And if you're in God and He's in me and I'm in Christ and He's in God, man, you say, what about the devil? Well, if the devil, he's got to come into Christ to get me. And to get Christ, you got to go in God, and then he'd be a saved devil. Verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is what he says. Verse number 2. We give thanks to God. We, me, Silvanus, Timotheus, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayer. Notice he said you all. Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin, which was a southern tribe. And if he'd have been up from up north, he'd have said, thanks be to God always for you guys. But he didn't say that. He said, you all. Making mention. So, if you're in Dyersburg, Tennessee tonight, you're in the right spot. And you never hear of anybody retiring from the south going up north. All right. Now that I got everybody back, let's look at verse 3. Remembering without ceasing, all right, here's the three things. Your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and and our Father. Notice three things he says about the church at Thessalonica. He says, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. He gives them three commendations. Talks about those three things. All right? You say, well, what about this hope? Hope in this context is a noun. It's not the hope of, well, I hope I'm saved, or I hope I have a good day tomorrow. That's an adverb. That's an action verb. Hoping is an action verb. In this context is a noun. Our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. That's a person. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is a person that we are looking for. Here's another one. Watch this. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, I thought I was already saved. You're saying we're hoping. Watch this. Romans 13 in verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. That's good. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now, I thought I was saved right now. That verse says the salvation is nearer in the future. Basically, that's what it says. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first got saved. So am I saved now or am I saved in the future? Well, watch this. Y'all see me right here? There I am. And I'm saved. I got saved when I was 10 years old. I got saved. But my salvation, every day that goes by, my salvation, the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of great God and the Savior, Jesus Christ, is nearer than when I got saved at 10 years old. Does that make sense? I got saved when I was 10. But I got another salvation coming. And He's coming to deliver me and save me from this present evil world. I got saved from sin when I was 10. I get saved from this present evil world when the Lord comes at the rapture. For now is our salvation nearer. In the morning when you get up, your salvation is nearer. The coming of the Lord is nearer than when you got saved. You wake up a week from now, your salvation is nearer. Everybody got it? Than when you first believed. That's our blessed hope. Patience of hope. Now, here's one. Joel 3:16. Ain't this odd? If you ever go through the Bible and look at all the 3:16s in the Bible, it just blow your mind. Joel 3:16, watch this. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of His people. The Lord is the hope. It's a noun. It's a person. It's the coming, the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. Now, three things. I'm trying to get all this in. Hopefully I can get it all in tonight. It ain't but 10 verses, but man, it's packed full of stuff. Three things. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Now watch this. Remember I told you, John wrote to 7 churches as well. And if you were to go to Revelation, John wrote this to this church. Watch this. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works. Watch. Works and thy labor and thy patience. What did he say about Thessalonians? Thou work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. John tells the church at Ephesus, I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast thou tried them and said they're apostles and are not, and found them liars, and hast borne and has patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and fainted not. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, watch this. Let me go back to this verse right here. Are y'all still looking in 1 Thessalonians? You got Thessalonians in your lap, and you got Revelation on the wall. Thessalonians, he said, work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Church at Ephesus, he said, I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience. Do y'all see the difference? Thessalonians had a work of faith. Ephesus only had works. No faith. Thessalonians had labor of love. Ephesus had labor and no faith. Did you know that you can labor for the Lord and not love? Did you know you can work for the Lord and not have faith? Did you know that you can have patience and don't have hope? Ephesus, everything was on the outside, but they didn't have anything on the inside. The church at Thessalonians, they had everything on the inside, and what was on the inside came out and manifested on the outside. There is a difference. You say, well, what's labor? You got labor and you got labor of love and you got work and when works. Ephesus had a lot of works. They just didn't have any faith. Thessalonians had one work of faith, and they got more done for God than Ephesus did with a lot of works and no faith. You can get a whole lot more done with the work of faith than you can works of the flesh. One is on the outside, one's on the inside. Now, us here in Millsfield, Christ Church Baptist Fellowship, we want to be like the Church of Thessalonians. We want to have that work of faith. Somebody said, well, what's the difference in work and labor? Well, you ladies will help us with that, right? Because there is a difference in working and vacuuming the rug and childbearing. Ladies, help me. Y'all would rather be working and vacuuming the carpet or at the hospital laboring? There is a difference. And so do y'all see? Ephesus had the outward but didn't have an inward relationship. The church of Thessalonica, what they did on the outside was based upon what was on the inside. There's a big difference. Now, here we go. Paul wrote this one. 1 Corinthians 13:30. This is what he said. Here's our spiritual gifts. Watch. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. What do we find? Work of faith. Patience of hope. Labor of love. Three of them right there. That's what we got to have. Now, and I'm just trying to give you practical things right here. But look, you can tell when a preacher gets up, he can tear your hide plumb off. I'm talking about he can preach and just your toes are done, the tops of your toes of skin done burn off of them. He stepped all over them. And you'll be able to tell if it was a labor of love or he's just up there hollering about something in the Bible. First Corinthians 13 says, if you don't have love, you don't have the charity. It's almost like going in the kitchen and getting you a couple of pots and pans, just beating them and banging and making a lot of racket. If you don't love people, have compassion for people. A pastor can really preach to his people and get on them and get on them toes. And the people sitting in the seat can tell if he really loves them or he's just drawing a check. There is a difference. There has to be compassion. There has to be that labor of love, that patience of hope, patience of hope. I think we've been pretty patient. Patience of hope. He's coming. Right, Jeremy, you've been saying it. He's still coming. We've been patient. He's coming. Just hang on. What was that? That little boy. This is what a lot of Christians are. That little boy, his mama told him, son, I'm supposed to go to the grocery. I'm just going to the grocery, and I'm coming right back. Do not, under any circumstances, get them cookies. Don't get them cookies. I'm going to the grocery store. I'm coming right back. Well, she left, go to the grocery store. He crawled up on the counter and opened that jar, and he was elbow deep. His mama had turned around because she forgot her phone. And she was coming back to get her phone. So she could go to the grocery store, and she walked in, and he was elbow deep and had one in his mouth and going for another. Let me ask y'all a question. He knew his mama was coming back. He just didn't know when. The Lord says, I'm coming back. Y'all better be acting right. And some of us haven't been acting right because we don't know when he's coming. But if you're actually really looking for him to come, you'll be acting right when he gets here, because you're expecting him to come just any day. Anyway, well, maybe I need to save that for a Sunday morning. Hallelujah. All right, let me move on. I got the three verses. All right, let's look at verse number four. Knowing, brethren, talking to saved people, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, I definitely do not have time to get into a big, deep theological discussion on the election of God, but let me just preface it by saying this. Before you can ever get elected, you have to have your name on the ballot. You've got to throw your hat in the ring. If you ever want to get elected, you have to let it be known you want to get elected. And so all of this mumbo jumbo garbage that you hear with election of God, before the foundation of the world, God already elected who he wanted to be saved and who he didn't want to be saved. He elected this group over here to go to heaven, this group over here to go to hell. That's baloney, and that ain't even good baloney. You got to throw your hat in the ring before he can elect you. Here's something else you may want to research. Those of you, I'm not fussing at y'all, I'm fussing at those, my good friends that are watching by way of internet right now, that it's just tearing their nerves up right now because I'm not a Calvinist. But there's elect angels. The elect angels is found in 1 Timothy 5:21. Jesus Christ is called the elect. 1 Peter 2:6. Israel is elect in Isaiah 45 and verse 4. And see if this don't help you out. Isaiah 45 and verse 4 says, Israel is my elect. Well, watch this. In Luke 16, the rich man that went into hell, he was part of elect Israel. And he wound up in hell. He said, how do you know he was Jew? He said, Father Abraham. I told you, I ain't got time to go into all of it. But election is based upon the foreknowledge of God. Just because God already knows you're going to be saved don't mean he made you get saved. God already knows everything, right? He knows everything. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knew you were going to get saved the day you got saved before you got saved. But that don't mean he kicked you out of your seat on Sunday morning and made you come down here and get saved. I had three kids. And I taught them how to ride a bike. And you had to bike. And you finally took the training wheels off. And you take the training wheels off. And you know what's fixing to happen. You're holding the back of the seat, right? And you're running along with them, and they're pedaling, and they keep looking back to see if you're still hanging on to it, and they're wobbling a little bit. And then you let go. Let me ask y'all a question. Foreknowledge. What's fixing to happen? They finna fall. Did I make them fall? They did it on their own. I just already knew they was going to. Does that help? Does that help you birds watching on the internet? Good night. Learn how to read the Bible, for goodness sake. Okay. Now we got them straightened out. Let's get back to us. Verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, for our gospel, Paul says, I've got a gospel. That gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. I don't have it on the screen there for you, but you should know this. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul wrote that too, 1 through 4. There's nothing added to it. There's nothing taken away from it. No, there's no baptism in there. the gospel. Death, burial, resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Boom. That's it. All this other stuff is extra. But the gospel that saves is the death, burial, resurrection, boom. Nothing else. 1 through 4. Should you get baptized? Yes, you ought to get baptized. To be saved? No. To show a good conscience toward God, I'm going to show a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. That's what I want to show y'all when I get back there. But what saved me was when I was 10 years old, death, burial, resurrection. That's the gospel. He said, Paul, our gospel came not into you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. In much assurance. These Thessalonians, Paul used to kill Christians. So when Paul come in there preaching, they're like, man, this dude must be saved. He used to kill people. He used to do this. He used to do that. And God has definitely changed him. And that, Paul's testimony, with much assurance, those people in Thessalonica got saved. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Y'all know what manner of man I was before I got saved. And to hear my testimony, man, them people got saved. The gospel, the grace of God. So on and so forth. Okay, let's look at, verse 6. And you became followers of us, Paul, Silvanus, Timotheus. When you got saved, you became followers of us and of our Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Remember I told you persecution. When Paul left, those people in Thessalonica were still getting persecuted. In much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, followers of us. Now, let me say something that might go against maybe. Let me get a verse right here. Let's see. 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote this one, 11:1. He told the Corinthian church, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, I know we've all heard this phrase. Never follow a preacher. Oh, never follow a preacher. Well, now these folks followed Paul, Timothy, Silas. The Corinthian church followed Paul. He says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, here's the statement. If you find the right man, following the right person, going in the right direction, you better follow him. The right man, following the right person, going in the right direction, it's okay to follow him. Charles Darwin, wrong man, going the wrong direction, following the wrong God. You want to follow him? Karl Marx, wrong man, going the wrong direction, following the wrong God. You want to follow him? Find the right man, following the right person, Lord Jesus Christ. Be you followers of me, right man, even as also I am of Christ, the right person, going in the right direction, and you could follow. Amen. And that's what the Bible says. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. Now, if the man ain't following the Lord, don't follow him. You follow the Lord first. Having received the word in affliction, I've already explained that, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Let's see what Paul say over here in 2 Corinthians. I think Paul wrote something over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me see if I got it right here. Talking about much affliction. 2 Corinthians 12. Let me see what it says. I didn't put it on the screen because I forgot. Let's see. 2 Corinthians 12. 9 and 10. Oh, yeah. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And so these folks here in Thessalonica, much affliction, but with joy, they were glad to be a part of that, of the Holy Ghost. Now, verse number 7. So that ye were in samples. Now, notice how the King James says in samples. That's very akin to our word example. And the best example of anything would be a sample of it. So he says the people here, ye were in samples of all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. You take a chocolate pie, and if I want an example, if I want a sample, I take a piece, and that will give me a sample of the whole thing. Paul looks at the church of Thessalonians, and he says, y'all are a sample of everything in Christ. Y'all are just a sample. Y'all are being a good sample, an ensample of what the Lord is like. And that's that word. A better word than example, that, you know, but it is kin to it. Verse number 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. Paul says, I go to another place, another town, and before I can tell them what happened to y'all in Thessalonians, these people I'm talking to have already heard from y'all, your testimony. Y'all beat me to it and told them what happened. You know, before I could tell what happened to you, they had done told it all over, spread abroad, so that we need not speak of anything. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had among unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols. Remember I told you Thessalonians, before Paul got in there, they were a city that was full of idolatry. So when he preached Christ, they turned from their idols. Now what did they do? Turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, let me see. I think hang on here. Let's see. I think I got a verse where Paul, y'all remember in Acts 17, we read this a while ago. And Paul, as his manner was, verse 9, Thessalonians, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. What'd Paul do? Y'all remember how I came into y'all's town? I walked right into the synagogue and acted like I owned the place. Went in there and preached 3 Saturdays to them people. As Paul, as a matter of what, went in unto them and 3 days Sabbath, reasoning with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs suffer and rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Now, this wouldn't go over very well today. Can you imagine? Now, this is what Paul did. He was a radical. That's why he spent a lot of time in jail. Think for a second. Paul goes into a town. He goes down to the Catholic Church, just walks in, and he says, I'm fixing to preach to y'all. And I'm fixing to tell y'all that Christ, there's no hope in the Pope. Christ is the only way. Can you imagine what? I mean, these people, the Dyersburg would turn upside down. Who is this crazy dude? That's where Paul went. I mean, he went into town and he went where they was preaching wrong, and he went in there and told them the truth. Now, you think that'd go over today? Paul said, that's just the way my manner is. That's the way I know to do it. Go into a town. It's my, what manner of man I am. I went into town. Boy, that wouldn't go over good today, would it? Well, you wonder why Paul in all these cities found himself in jail. And you would think he would learn. Because he wound up in jail in Philippi, right? Well, he got out. He goes into Thessalonica and goes to the same place that got him put in jail the chapter before. Goes to Corinth, goes to the same exact place that got you in trouble before. Man, wouldn't it be good if this country, the United States of America, every preacher in the United States of America was like Paul? Y'all think we'd be in the mess we are in today? Well, there'd be a bunch of preachers in jail, I think. And we may be headed in that direction. We may very well be headed in that direction. Because any time you preach the Bible, people don't want to hear that. Nowadays, this right here is hate speech. That's hate speech right there. You've been hateful. You are being hateful. No, I didn't write it. I didn't write it. God wrote it. Don't get mad at the mailman. I'm just reading the mail. I'll tell you what it says. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Well, there's another proof text that we're not going through the tribulation. He's already delivered us from that. If you got saved, if you are saved, you've already been delivered from that. You're not going to see the tribulation. Now, the reason I drive that point home is because I've got good friends. I've got good friends that are Calvinists. Well, I was talking about that election stuff a while ago. I've got good friends that believe that, you know, for the foundation of the world. They don't even give invitation at their church. The reason they don't give invitation is because God's already picked who he wants to be saved, who's going to be lost. So there's no reason to, you know, God's already elected that. I got friends that believe that. I got friends that believe that, hey, some we're going to go through half the tribulation. And then the Lord will come get us about halfway. I got some friends that believe they're what we call post-tribulation. That means he comes to the end. Well, if he's post, you're going to run into yourself coming back. My daddy always says, if you lean on a post, you're going to fall down. And so what I am is pre-tribulation and pre-millennial. Some are mid-tribulational. They believe that you go through half of it and the rapture happens mid. And then, like I said, post and all that kind of good stuff. But Paul is comforting these people at Thessalonica and he's assuring them, your loved ones that died during that persecution, just because they got saved and they were persecuted by the people of that town and all of that, you will see them again. He's writing to them. You will see. The Lord's going to descend from heaven. Chapter 4. We'll get to it. And all that kind of stuff. He's sending this letter to them to comfort them because they won't see that wrath to come. Anyway. And that's what? We're waiting for his son from heaven, whom he raised, God raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And that's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day.